All right, we're talking about access to the... Well, we're talking fundamentally about where the blood of the sin offering is poured. We talked yesterday until the blood of the sin offering was on the brazen altar, there was no anything else. Everything else was hidden. Until you've seen the blood on the incense offering and inside the holy place, then there's no possibility of renewal of mind, because you will continue to think that your mind has been renewed because you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And so you'll all the time run around and have big thoughts and big ideas, and you won't realize that the source of them is sin itself. And so until you see that you have the access to his mind by this blood offering sprinkled on the incense altar, then you'll continue to be deceived. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. Can you get a handle on that?
How do you judge?
How do you know? Hmm? You know... Because it's because of your refusal to ever again use your mind for thoughts or emotions. You see that it's only sin. They all originate in sin itself.
Plus, you can check with us.
Well, it's revealed out of the fullness of the heart or the inner being, the mouth speaks. So you will know where you are by your thoughts and your speech. Unless you think you really have some good ideas that we ought to share with everybody, but if you do, you ought to share them, because you'll probably be made fun of. I seem to remember that happening sometime in the past.
This is like one of the biggest features of everything we talk about, the doctrine entirely, and it's always a fresh topic to me.
But you remember, this was first studied in March of 1987.
Yeah.
But there was no apprehension.
Here's Jesus walking down the road.
Pardon?
Here's Jesus walking down the road. He ain't thinking, or he might be thinking.
No. If there's total emptiness. Before his baptism, he thought just like you do. Well, maybe not just like you do, but. But he saw the emptiness and futility of human life and human thoughts and human action. When he did that, when he saw that, when he saw essentially the meaning of Ecclesiastes, then he was baptized. He prefigured his death by his baptism, and then he lived that death for the next 3.5 years. The death became real in terms of visibility on the cross. But until you see that cross went to the deepest depths of your inner being, you'll continue to walk in deception. Because you will continually take your thoughts as his thoughts. That's why I've been speaking so often lately about let your speech and your thoughts be seasoned with salt. If any man speak, let him speak from the oracle of God. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness in these high places. We bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And once we've seen it, we revenge with great zeal all disobedience, not in others, but in you, in ourselves. Well, except we may in Gary, others, but I'll get calls about that. Because again, from the standpoint of the sin offering itself, until you've seen that the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of atonement, went into the holy place, went in onto the altar of the brazen, the golden altar, the incense offering, went on the table of showbread, and went on the veil itself, and went into the Holy of Holies. Now, until you see that, until you see, first of all, that it was on, we'll take it by apprehension. Normally, it's by first you have to see it on the trespass, on the incense altar. And then you can understand what it means in your thoughts, where they originate from. And then it gets on the table of showbread, which is to be our daily bread. But until you see that, then you'll continue to get sustenance and satisfaction from all kinds of crap in the world, from your achievements or sports teams or whatever. And then when you finally see it's on the veil, then you have access into the Holy of Holies. And when you see it's on the cherubim and on the altar itself, the ark itself, the Ark of the Covenant. Wherever you don't see it, you can't approach there. And that's what this whole thing about the sin offering is about. You'll think you do, and you'll have a philosophy about it, but your thoughts will continue to be just like every other Gentile, except periodically you'll have to give Jesus a sop. You might pray every once in a while. That's not boldness to enter the throne of grace. Now let's just talk about this a minute. Does anybody who can understand? Who can see? What's your questions? How?
You take some blood, you put it on the altar of incense. That, seen correctly, shows not only your death source but your life source.
Because it's sprinkled on, then you can no longer see that your thoughts have any merit for anything.
So that's, you can, you see death. You see Ecclesiastics. You see
the futility, and then there's repentance. That's the whole care. At every juncture, you see the futility, then there's repentance. And then there's access, because you've seen the blood has already finished it all the way into the Holy of Holies on the mercy seat.
And then God quickens your mortal body.
Well, he quickened it when on Pentecost.
Yeah, but
it's not quickened. It's quickened only to reveal the life of Christ in you. Other than that, it's dead. What?
The quickening of your mortal body.
Well, it's quickened with the life of Christ, not with you.
Well, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm not wrong with that. Still, we don't talk about that part of it much. And I don't know if that's because of the preaching of the cross. You never talk about the other side, but there's something about that part of it that is to the understanding of what it means to walk.
Well, I thought everybody understood that. That's why we don't talk about it. But I'm sure that everybody doesn't understand what I'm talking about, hasn't understood completely what we're talking about now, about this access by the blood of the sin offering. Anyway. Whatever it is, there's no access to it until you see the blood. The blood is the blood of the sin offering, it has to be seen before anything else can be seen. Otherwise, this whole thing is a philosophy. It might be an interesting philosophy, just like it. Remember what they said about Paul at Mars Hill? He's got strange, interesting things to say. Let's hear them. Let's add to our philosophy. See how we can add this into us. This is why, again, opinions have to go. Once you've seen the blood on the brazen altar, on the golden altar, because there can't be any more opinions. There can't be any more good ideas. There can only be more and more and more of Him.
So cool the way this, seeing that chart again. Somebody brought it over to my house. I was all like, I remember that chart. And it's like the apprehension, even though it's like done, you still have to make that walk. You have to go boldly before the throne of grace, which means passing through all those different apprehensions.
Amen.
And then your total being is accepted. You're okay. It's all done.
Because your being is Him.
Yeah. It's all coming back to me from when we studied that. It's so cool.
Until this happens, then your depth of apprehension of the sin offering on that, first on the golden altar, then on the showbread, then on the candlesticks, then on the veil, and then finally on the ark itself, then you really don't have boldness to enter in to that Holy of Holies. Because you don't even know you have that access. And so you can think you do, and you can play games. But it's really critical. And we're going to see in a minute, we're going to go through what happened with each of these levels of apprehension with regard to the blood. And we've already said it in some detail, but I want to just go down each of these levels of apprehension, or the different, from the bullock to the fine flour. I mean, but it seems to me that the juncture that we're at right now, for not just for everybody, including me, is that the access to the atonement of the blood now reaching the golden altar, the altar of incense, which is your thoughts, then you will really walk in confusion. Who's talking and whose thought is it? And when has this happened? And how do I know? And all these other things. Because, how can I say this? It's what this is doing, really, is it's taking the pegs of our tent, of our tabernacle, and slowly extending them all the way to the edge of time and space itself. And as John... We end up finding out that there's really no such thing as time from the standpoint of eternity. And that's the only standpoint we can have. And so all the things that we think about and think are important and give breath to, which is, that's why it says, love not the world, neither the things that are there in the world. Give breath to nothing. But it has to start with seeing that the blood has now gone on to the incense offering, which is your thoughts, and you see now that all other thoughts and emotions, all thoughts and emotions, are just, they're just the vapor of smoke. They're empty. They're the same thoughts that, they say that in type, the same thing happened to the two sons of Aaron. They offered strange fire. Well, if you're presenting your own opinions, your own ideas, then you're offering strange fire, because they don't originate in the blood. Write a song about this so people understand it.
Yeah, I would.
Any thoughts about this, Mr. Rutledge?
I was just thinking about the reasons that you sign up for this. is not because, you know, it's initially, it might be all kinds of stuff, but, you know, in the end, it's only because you can't live without being in that holy place.
Amen.
So you got all this other crap you got to deal with. You know, you have to, my thoughts are being weird. I've got to kick that back up to the next level. And then you're dealing with the next thing, you know, because something won't let you just hang around on the outskirts. But
the preaching of the cross is what eventually causes that.
Yeah.
That's the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In this first offering, it's the bullock. The offerer is the anointed priest. The sacrifice is the bullock. And it atones for all. It atones for everything. It provides access to the atonement for everyone. Now, normally, sometimes you don't even start at this point. You start way down, you know, you start maybe with an understanding of the trespass offering, and you confess your sin, which really you're confessing your trespass, and you promise not to do it again, blah, blah, blah. But that's not even on the chart yet. That's still back in the trespass offering chart, because you've confused trespass and sin. They think they're the same thing. Remember, trespass is what you do, the fruit. Sin is who you are, the tree. The tree of sin cannot produce good fruit. We are all the tree of sin. Our minds cannot produce anything of value. What? You're doing it, Gary.
Well, just thinking, if you come up with a really good idea and then you do it and it works, it's still not a good idea. Out of the corrupt tree, can't bring forth good fruit.
Amen.
And it will be an idea that ends up causing you trouble, and you don't like it, it didn't satisfy you, it just won't.
You can make all the money in the world.
Yeah.
I have at least five people that I know fairly well who are billionaires. They're just as much an idiot as everybody else. Well, this might be a good place to stop, because this is enough to chew on for a minute, to see that you don't have to pay attention to any aspect of your mood or your emotions or your thoughts. They're just silly. They're those of an ignorant slut. I didn't say that.
I figured out a definition for apprehension. It's aha. When aha moment?
Revelation 17.
And it works on both ends of the scale. Aha,
Revelation what?
Full of sin. Aha,
17. Everybody's ignoring you.
I know.
Revelation
17.
That's very Buddhist.
Huh?
Yeah, you're the Lord, man.
What'd you say?
I said that's very Buddhist.
Uh-huh. Aha. Uh-huh. Now Gary feels better.
Where are we going now?
Revelation chapter 17.
I was in a spiritual reverie.
And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show you. Remember, everything in Revelation is, come here, and I will show you. Come here. You cannot see if you don't come here. And here is the standpoint of eternity. Here is looking down at everything. Here is the revelation of Christ. Come here. Come hither. Don't look from the bottom up anymore. You will always be deceived. Come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now, the waters are always the human race, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. And what's the wine of fornication? It's the wine of Ephraim, the wine of self-seeking, the wine of good ideas, the wine of great thoughts, the wine of aha.
Did you not do that?
Yes, I did.
I was apprehension.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman upon a scarlet-covered beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. It's the same beast in Revelation 13 that John saw from the water. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, the colors of royalty, the colors of majesty, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. Everything that man wants, everything that man esteems, she's full of, but all she's full of is the names of blasphemy. And remember, blasphemy is a term of law that means denying the foundation. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. And it's golden because in the cup is everything that man wants. Do you understand that? And everything that man wants is full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head, her forehead, was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration or great awe. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, of the beast that carried her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. I don't want to go through the rest of it, but you'll see she's sitting on the seven mountains, the seven high places of your mind, the seven tribes that inhabited Canaan, the seven tribes in which the high places in which the ark had to visit, each one of them, until it was finally settled on Jerusalem, only because that was the type of the New Jerusalem. And everything, again, you couldn't learn to talk, you couldn't do anything, you couldn't walk across the street without having that high place activity. You couldn't write, you couldn't say 1 and 1 is 2. And now, once you've said, Father, I am yours without condition, then worship on any of those high places is now forbidden. Even the, for, and this is on the chapter of Babylon, cause and effect. So everything that you've learned, everything that made you you, is gone once you say, Father, I'm yours without condition. Now, because of our rebellion, it's really hard to get rid of many of these things, because they're your fundamental identity. But I promise you that until you do, you won't apprehend the sin offering at all these different places, because you'll still think that some part of the worship on that high place over there is okay. Now, you don't have to believe what I believe and teach about Revelation, but I believe it's the key to understanding everything. Because it's not linear time, it's looking from eternity and seeing everything happen at once. But our minds can't conceive even of eternity. We can conceive of it philosophically, but we can't understand, we could never go there. You can inhabit his inheritance, you can possess it every once in a while, but you can never dwell there. Because that shield is down, because you're still worshiping on these other high places over here.
It says the mind, here's the mind of wisdom, and it's basically just describing the, you know, Babylon.
Amen.
It's like wisdom is seeing that. And then once you see it, you know,
take your hands
God
off.
Takes over. You know? And then it also describes that that has a mind too. That chapter is really interesting. It talks about the mind and the fruit.
Anybody response? Mr. Bojo? You see it?
Say right now, it's between me and God.
Okay. All right, take it, big guy.